Welcome, my friend. You are listening to Read Clean YA with CJ, the podcast for teens and young adults who want to explore exciting worlds, deep themes, and epic stories without the objectionable content. I'm your host, award-winning young adult author, CJ Malacy, and in this episode, we are going to dive into an author interview with my friend and young adult author, Candace Cade. Candace Cade spends her time dreaming up stories typically involving tech, psychology, culture, and/or swords. She is the author of the Hybrid series and a certified Krav Maga assistant instructor who loves writing action-packed martial arts scenes. A third culture kid, she considers Chengdu and OKC to be her homes. When she's not exploring new countries, she enjoys hiking in national parks, moving, teaching her husband Mandarin, and keeping two baby humans alive. She can be bribed with boba tea, fluffy puppies, and breakfast tacos. Candace, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
I am so excited to have you back. For our listeners who don't know, Candace was one of my early guests on Read Clean YA with CJ, and we talked about her first book, Enhanced, which was so much fun. But today, I'm excited because we're diving into book three in the series, Augmented, and we'll probably talk about all three books. So don't worry, we'll give you a highlight of the series. But I'm just excited to talk with Candace, hear about her stories, and we are good friends as well. So this is always just a treat for me to have a friend on and get to talk books. So Candace, could you just share with our listeners a little bit about your series?
Sure. And it is so special to get to be back as sort of bookends, you know, for Enhanced, my debut novel, and then coming full circle, finishing the trilogy with Augmented. So this is really special for me too. But sure. So the Hybrid series is a young adult near future sci-fi series, and it's set in the Asian Federation in the year 2123, where everyone has these amazing genetic enhancements, sort of like superpowers. And so all the rich have these enhancements, and they're like super strength, enhanced intelligence, the ability to breathe underwater. And then all the poor are born naturally and at a disadvantage. And so there's sort of this divide in society. And the story is about our main character, Urban, who was born naturally without any genetic enhancements, but adopted by accident into the enhanced elite society. And she has to hide the fact that she doesn't have any of these genetic enhancements, or it would endanger herself and her family. And of course, this is more complicated when she enrolls in Peking University, and there's mysterious hackers, futuristic motorcycles, races, AI games. But ultimately, this is a series about a girl trying to find her place in the world where your DNA really determines everything. So that's book one, Enhanced. And then book two is more of an origin story. Book one is set in a futuristic Beijing. I wrote it when I was living in Beijing. Book two, we still see new Beijing a little bit, but I was living, I had moved back to Texas at the time. So we see some futuristic dystopian Texas settings there. And then book three is very much a going home for me. I grew up in Chengdu. That's where I consider home. And so we get to travel to New Chengdu for book three, which is just so fun for me. So yeah, that's a little bit about the series.
I think it's so fun how you travel around the world with your books, especially because you lived in these places. So they have that authenticity. If I tried to write about Beijing, it would be all my Googling of Beijing. I've never been. So it would not hold that weight of the smells and the feel of the culture and just the pulse of that city. Even though it's set in the future, you do it so well. You bring us into that culture. And I love how you do that with your books. It's so much fun. And it brings this authenticity to the stories that can come with experience, but it allows us as readers to feel like we get to experience it as well. And it's so much fun.
And that's one of the things I love, because, you know, there's so few people who are going to have the chance to travel to Beijing or to Chengdu. And so I love getting to take readers there. And it's fun for me too. You know, when COVID happened, I was really missing China, but there was just no chance to travel. And so for me, it was a way to get to go back, even though physically I couldn't. But I do think there's also just something so powerful about place. And, you know, I have traveled around a lot. And so I love being able to take all these places that have been my home home at one point in time and incorporating them in a book. So even now, having recently moved to Oklahoma City, I'm thinking about, okay, what if I were to set something here, you know? And that's just really fun. I love taking place in culture, even looking at the differences between Texas and Oklahoma, which you think they're so similar, and they are, but there are differences. And looking at how can you use that in a story? I love those little details.
It's fun when place can become almost its own character in the story, when the setting can play such an integral part in what's happening with the characters so that it's influencing the ebb and flow of the plot. And I think you do that so well. And it's always fun for me when a story can do that, because I think that's what allows us to feel like we're really in another place.
And I think that's just one of my favorite parts of writing too, is the world building. You know, writers talk about, are you character first? Are you world building or plot first? I'm usually plot and world building first, because I am thinking about that and culture and how does that impact your characters? You know, in America, so often we think about our culture is more of like a justice sort of culture versus an Asian society. A lot of times it's more shame, honor. And if you have a character who's from that culture versus the West, you know, they're going to act very differently. And so for me, that's, I always start there with culture, with world, and then I sort of build out my characters and who they are.
It's fascinating to me too, how different parts of the world are. And I remember traveling to Africa several years back, and my friend who lives there said to read this book, and it was about warm cultures versus cold cultures and how people interact differently depending on if they're a cool culture, which is more where I live in the Philadelphia area, versus a warm culture, which is like a Ugandan African culture where they're like very welcoming. They're fine if you're late to things. It's all about just being with people, and that's just how they are. Whereas here, if you're late to something, everyone's annoyed, you know? So it's just the differences that place can have and culture have on how we think of the world around us and people around us is so much bigger than I think we realize sometimes. And it is helpful to see a character in a culture that's unlike ours so that we can understand that people from that culture are thinking differently most likely than we are, because like you said, the shame honor is different than the justice culture. And so the priorities, the reactions to things, it's going to hold different weights because of that cultural impact of what we are living with day to day.
Yeah, like cultural norms, like what is expected in your culture. Yeah, and I think that's why I love writing characters who sort of straddle different cultures. So even though my main character, she's from the Asian Federation, she's straddling these two worlds of her culture is divided by those who are genetically enhanced and those who aren't, right? And she's wrestling with where do I belong, because she lives among the enhanced, so she really resonates with them, she feels like she belongs with them, but genetically she's not enhanced and she feels like a fraud because she's actually a natural. But on the flip side, when she goes to the outskirts where the naturals live, like she doesn't belong among them either. And that's very much pulled from my own upbringing, right? You know, I grew up in China. When I was 4 years old, my family moved there and I went to local Chinese school part-time, and then I was homeschooled part-time. And then when I was 18, I graduated and came back to the States for college, grad school, worked, and then moved back to China again, which is when I wrote Enhanced in Beijing. And so I've kind of straddled these, you know, East and Western culture and trying to figure out, you know, how do I embrace both? A lot of times growing up feeling like, am I American enough or am I Chinese enough? You know, in Chinese school, I was the only American in my entire middle school, in my entire high school. And I don't look Chinese. So it was very obvious to many people that I didn't belong, even though I felt like I belonged. But then on the flip side, coming back to the US, feeling like, oh, I don't belong here, but everyone assumed I did. And it was just a very strange experience. And so, yeah, I just love talking about culture and also just how cultures can, how you can have a mashup of cultures and just all things culture. I love it. And that's why you see it, I think, a lot in the hybrid series.
Yes, it pulses through the whole series, which is so much fun. And that deep feeling of belonging, I think, is something everyone struggles with at some point in their life, whether they're a third culture kid who's lived in totally different places in the world, or they've grown up in the same area their entire life. There's always, in every person's life, I believe, a point where we walk into a room and we feel like, whoa, I don't know if I fit here. I don't think I belong. And then wrestling through those feelings and learning to embrace the fact that you're different and that's okay. And you can learn from these other places and these other people. And I think with Urban in your books, like she has to learn how to be in these different places and find her own sense of belonging and her own purpose and what she's there for, in spite of that feeling of, I just don't fit in. Because sometimes we're in a place and we just don't fit in. So what do you do then?
Yeah. And I think that's one of the reasons I really enjoy writing YA, because I think that sense of belonging is especially prevalent when you're in high school, when you're a young adult and you're trying to figure out, who do I want to be in the world? Where do I belong? Who am I? What is my worth? What do I want to do with my life? All those questions, a lot of them are tied to belonging. And so I think that's one of the reasons I really enjoy writing in this genre, is as someone who was a young adult who very much wrestled with belonging, I want to help other young adults who are wrestling with that. And maybe they're third culture kids, maybe they're adopted, but like you said, maybe they're just walking into a room and just feeling like the odd one out. You know, we've all experienced that. And so I love touching on that theme. I think it's, one that I really am passionate about.
So speaking of themes, you know, I love talking about themes. So let's just kind of dive in deeper here, because you touch on belonging for sure. And just from the beginning, I feel like in Enhanced, we're there with Urban, and we know she is, you know, rubbing shoulders with the elite and does feel like she belongs. This is her family. This is where she grew up. But then we know she also doesn't feel like she belongs. We see her fears. We see the potential for exposure. Like right from the beginning, we know this is something she's struggling with. And then as the series builds, you kind of continue to build on different themes. So could you just share a little bit about what that was like as you put Urban's story together? Because we follow her through the series. So what is that? How has that looked like writing that out for her?
Yeah. So belonging was definitely a theme in each book. But I love how in book three, we get to see some closure to that. But then for Hybrid, which is the second book, the new theme that's introduced is family. It's all about her origin story, her birth origins, trying to find that. And we begin to see more of her family. In book one, it looks like her family is a certain way, but then we start to see some cracks in that. And then in book two, we have more questions than answers. We start to see some resolution, but there's still a lot left to be desired. We get a little bit of some answers. But then in book three, a lot of the secrets and a lot of the cracks that we've seen are exposed, and a lot comes to light. I'm trying to be deliberately vague here. It's so hard with the third book, but yeah.
So hard.
Yeah. So book two, though, is very much, the theme is about family and the importance of fighting for family, even when it's challenging. And then book three, so we still build on that theme of belonging and family, but then we also have a new theme introduced, which is brokenness to wholeness. And so Urban is an artist. She wants to be an artisan and join that gene pool. And so in book three, one of the mentors that she has introduces her to a new form of art called kintsugi. And this is a Japanese art form where they actually break teaware and then they piece it back together. They glue it back together with this gold sort of glue. And so the original teaware is actually even more beautiful because it has these sort of snaking things of gold gluing it back together. And it's just such a beautiful form of art that I love, because it symbolizes so much what God does in our own lives. He takes the brokenness, the shattered pieces of our lives. And I think a lot of times we think, I'll never be pieced back together, or if I am, I'll just be this broken, janky looking teapot. But the reality is, with God, like, he glues it back together into something that is so much more beautiful than it ever was before, with this gold. And so that was sort of the theme of book three, which is Urban's feeling very broken, but realizing that our brokenness doesn't define us, and that we can overcome brokenness. And a lot of times what breaks us actually makes us even more beautiful than we were before.
I've always loved that art form too, but I always forget what it's called. So I'm glad you shared. But it is such a beautiful picture of how God works in our lives. Like, I love that you touched on that, because it is true. Where humans would say brokenness will forever mar you, God says, I will use that brokenness to shine through you, to make you even more who I intended you to be, to show my love, my grace, my forgiveness, my goodness in your life. And he takes the worst, darkest moments, and he can rebuild them into something that truly is beautiful and brings him glory and gives us a deeper purpose, so that somehow through brokenness, we find more life, and it through Christ and how he redeems it. And I love the art that displays that. And I love that that's such a big part of book two, because again, it is part of the human condition. Brokenness is inevitable. There is no person who will not face it at some point, who will not face that thing that feels like I will never overcome this brokenness in my life. And yet God can bring us past that and we can become something more beautiful so that the brokenness no longer defines us in a negative way, but actually becomes an origin of rebirth that is beautiful.
Yeah, I love all of that. I actually read about it in a book called Art Plus Faith, which is one of my favorite books. And I knew that was just something so beautiful. It was perfect for an allegory or an analogy. And so I knew I wanted to use it someday. But yeah, I just think it's, and it's so cool too, because this art form, and I obviously do not practice this art form, so I am not an expert. Go read the book. But this art form, it takes a long time. It requires a lot of patience. And so I just think that that's really special too, that when you look at these broken things or these things that feel impossible to overcome, it's not just the snap of a finger that suddenly they're infused with gold and they're beautiful. Ta-da! You know, like dark themes, like they take, God takes a while sometimes to walk us through them and to make things something beautiful. And so, I don't know. I just love it. I feel like it's such a beautiful analogy of what the Lord does in our own lives.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. That snap of the fingers is not really a part of life. It's like you cannot become stronger. You cannot... We'll use Krav Maga. You cannot become an expert, since you know Krav Maga. You cannot become an expert in Krav Maga unless you train, and it takes time. Like, you can train for a week and train really hard, but you're not going to be an expert in a week. Even if you spent hours every day, you're still not going to be an expert. You need time in order for it to become a part of who you are and to become an actual skill you've mastered. And I think that's true with the broken things becoming beautiful. It takes time. And it is over time that fragrance goes from something bitter to something sweet in our lives. And we can then look back and see, oh, wow, look at how much God has done. Look at how far he's brought me. Look at the gold now shining through what used to be cracks that I never thought could be mended.
Absolutely.
In book two, you touch on this broken to beautiful theme. And then what about book three? Because you said we still have that theme of belonging. What's like the third kind of layer to Urban's theme journey here?
Yeah. So we have belonging, we have brokenness, I would say is actually more of a theme of book three. But then the other theme we also see is family and just fighting for family and the importance of that. And so in Augmented, we still see the belonging, we see family and brokenness, sort of all three of those themes get wrapped up. So it was definitely a lot to juggle three themes in a final book. I was definitely beating my head against a wall many times trying to figure out all three. These themes are so important and I want to do all of them justice, but gosh, I have the same word count. How am I supposed to do this?
Yes.
So book three definitely took me the longest to write.
Since it is the third and final book, did you know that you wanted all of those themes coming together like from the beginning, or did that develop as Urban story developed and came to life?
That's a great question. So I think in Enhanced, I wasn't really thinking about theme. The theme of belonging just sort of weaved its way in there because I was living back in Beijing. And again, wrestling with that theme of, do I want to live here permanently or do I want to go back to the States? So it just kind of naturally flowed in. And then the theme of family, I think also just naturally flowed in as I was thinking about the story, the plot, and the arc that Urban would be taking. So those two just kind of naturally happened and got carried over because I knew I didn't want, you know, these deep themes to just be resolved in the first book or the second book. I wanted to see progress that Urban was making in each book, but I didn't want to see them fully and not fully resolved, right? Because Urban's not at the end of the series suddenly a perfect human being, right? But at least a satisfactory ending, right? So I knew I wanted to carry those themes on. And then I think the only one that I deliberately really sat down and thought about what makes sense for book three was this one of brokenness. And again, it was because I had read that book about Art Plus Faith, and I'd kind of filed away in the back of my brain, someday, you know, we have these files in our brain, someday I'm going to use that in a book. And so when I was thinking about what Urban was enduring in book three, I realized, oh, it's so perfect because she is facing this brokenness. So I think this sort of theme of brokenness to wholeness is perfect. So that's the only one I intentionally planned. The other ones just sort of naturally seep their way in.
Your stories, you know, we're talking about these really deep themes, but your stories are so fast paced because you do a great job with these high intense action scenes where there's, whether it's hand to hand combat or these races or just there's so many things that happen in the story. So the theme is woven into all of that. So just for our listeners to know, these are incredible deep themes in the midst of tons of action. Like you will be flipping the pages because you're trying to figure out what happens next. So I think that that's something you've done really well as well with Urban Story, is you've kept the intensity of this crazy world you've developed, but also with depth, because no matter how intense the world around us might be, what's important is that growth in our own personal character. And so I think what resonates, at least for me as a reader, with a story is when the character is going on a journey of growth. And Urban is, through books 1, 2, and now 3, which I haven't read yet, and I can't wait to read. But it's so much fun because we have all this action and we get to live in this world through the story that we never could live in this actual world. Not that I'm sure I want to face certain elements that are in your story in real life. So I like that it's in the pages of a book.
I'm not sure if I want to face some of it. You know?
But we also get to see the actual human struggle that resonates deeply, because whatever we're facing in life, our inner struggle is something we have to deal with. You know, it doesn't just go away because there's a lot going on around us.
I think those are the favorite types of books for me to read, are the ones that are super fast paced, but that do have some sort of depth to them too. You know, they're not just the next action movie that's lots of explosions and cool hand to hand fight scenes, which, you know, I do like to watch, but I want to see some depth there. I want to see some emotion and some growth. And so, yeah, I think that's what I really like to write. But I also, I mean, I just love adventuring and I love Krav Maga and martial arts and any form of adventure. So I also just really enjoy writing that too.
Yeah. And it's so much fun. So with this story, because it is about Urban from book 1 through the end, right? So like she's our main character. How was that for you? Like writing her over 3 books?
Very challenging.
That's a lot.
Yes. Very challenging. I think I had a very loose idea of what I wanted for the rest of the series, but there's definitely elements I wish I would have plotted out more thoroughly from the get-go, because it was very challenging coming up with a new arc for her with each book.
I feel that pain.
Oh, yes. I mean, you with 4 books, gosh, that's next level. Yeah. So I think
it wasn't intentional. The 4th book was an accident.
Oh no. Yeah. So it's definitely challenging, right? You know, on the one hand, I think it's really fun because we get to see so much of this character and we get to really watch them grow. But on the other hand, as a writer, I'm just like, why did I do this to myself? All these individual arcs that she needs to go through and just a lot. Yes. So it was a lot of work. I think the next series I write, I want it to probably be dual point of view, which has its own challenges for sure. Yeah, it was fun, but a lot of work.
Yes. So now that the final book in the series is coming out this September 2025, do you have any other plans for future stories or any books in the works?
I mean, I am thinking about writing fantasy. I have some different ideas. And like I mentioned, place is always really important to me. So I am thinking about fantasy based loosely off of an Oklahoma sort of olden days culture. So we'll see about that. I have a couple other ideas that are interesting to me, but nothing solid. You know, I just finished turning in my typesetting final version to Enclave last week. And then it was such a great celebratory moment. And then, you know, the last couple of weeks, I got to take a vacation. We were talking about this, to the Netherlands to visit my brother and sister-in-law. So I'm kind of just decompressing. Being on deadline for this series has just been a wild ride. The whole time I've been on deadline, you know, I think we've moved twice, one of which has been out of state. We had our first baby, had our second baby. I was thinking, I'm like, man, I feel like I've either been pregnant or some stage of postpartum for basically the whole time I've been on deadline for this series. So
it's been a crazy couple years.
It really has been. And so I feel like I am just coming out of a season of burnout and just, I don't know, I'm just taking it slow. I'm just playing with different ideas that are fun. I feel like that's the thing too, I've just being on deadline for so long. I'm like, you know what? I don't have to write anything. I just want to work on whatever is fun because I can. which yes. currently looks like fantasy. So yeah, that's about all I have, though. I don't really have anything set in stone.
That is absolutely okay, because you have finished your series. And that, I think, is the huge win, especially finished your series, had two beautiful little babies, and now are earning a well-deserved rest and fun in writing once again. So with your series, just to kind of wrap up the conversation about it, when a reader goes through these books, when they close the last page in Augmented, what is something you would like them to take away with them from Urban Story?
I really think it's just building on the three themes. Like, first of all, for anyone who's ever felt like they don't belong and has struggled with that, I just hope they feel seen and cared for mm-hmm. and that they know they're not alone. Also, just going back to the theme of family, this is something that's so important. And I feel like more and more, you know, all over the world, not just American society, but all over the world, family has become less important. And mm-hmm. this was something that was, you know, even just really jumped out to me when we were in the Netherlands last month. You know, you hear about, for the last 10 to 20 years, I've always heard like population, you know, overpopulation, and we got to be careful how many kids we're having. And now we're realizing, oh, you know, all these countries that have had one child policies or that have really pulled back on having children. Now, like, we're starting to have the reverse problem of not enough children mm-hmm. to take care of the elderly and the next generation. And so when we were in the Netherlands, you know, I have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, and we have this double wide stroller. And just, it was so interesting because so many people would stare at us like, oh, wow. Like two kids were such a rare thing. And I think in the US, we don't notice it as much because we still mm-hmm. have larger families compared to a lot of the rest of the world. But it was just really jumped out to me when we were traveling, because people would be like, oh my gosh, a baby, like how exciting, like we wow. never see one sort of deal. And it really was rare to see a lot of kids, and especially to see two kids. And so just mm-hmm. the importance of family and that they are valuable. And also, you know, so many people, there's going to be a point in time when family's messy, and not just throwing in the mm-hmm. towel and walking away, but fighting for family. So yeah, I hope that people will continue to fight for family and value that. And then also just recognizing some of our darkest moments, some of our broken moments, God uses those. He never just leaves mm-hmm. them. He never makes us become this sort of janky piece of pottery. No, like he makes it so much more beautiful, and he uses everything in our life for good. So I think that would be sort mm-hmm. of the three things that I would hope to leave readers with.
Mm, and all so powerful and important. And I think they do kind of come together as well, you know, that belonging and family and brokenness being something God can redeem and restore if we give it to him. You know, it's all deeper things that are echoes of, I think, God's heart for his people. He wants us to know we belong in him. He wants us to know that no matter how insane the family we might be in is, even if it's broken and there isn't a place for restoration, that we have a new family in him, and that no matter how broken things get, he can make it beautiful. And I think there's such deeply resonant themes because they are eternal in so many aspects. You know, they resonate beyond just this life. And those are the ones that can stay in our hearts for our whole lives, I believe. So yeah, thank you so much for sharing. And we are starting to run out of time, but can you share with our listeners where they can connect with you and follow you online or find your books?
Sure, absolutely. My books are sold anywhere that books are sold. And you can connect with me on Instagram. Candace Cade Author is my handle, or on my website, Candace Cade. Cade is spelled K-A-D-E. And you can sign up for my newsletter there, where I give family-friendly young adult book recommendations as well as bookish giveaways. So those are probably the two best places to connect with me.
Perfect. And Candace, thank you so much for being on Read Clean YA with CJ. I loved getting to chat with you again. It's always a pleasure.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, CJ.
I had so much fun in this conversation with Candace Cade, and I hope you enjoyed it as well. It is always a pleasure for me to talk to Candace and hear her heart behind her stories and hear more about the deeper themes she's woven into the pages of her books. The Hybrid series is an action-packed, fun adventure, and if you are looking for a trilogy to dive into and get lost in for a little bit, then I think this might be the one for you. There are so many fun, different elements to her world. And like we talked about in the podcast, she takes you all over the world in her books. So be sure to check them out. There are some elements that might be a little scary for sensitive readers, as she mentioned, she loves those action scenes and she is a Krav Maga expert and everything as well. So that is a big part of her stories. So if you have a young or sensitive reader, just keep that in mind. There is also romance in her books. So if you aren't ready for the kissing books yet, that might be something to take note of as well. But these are great, clean stories with fantastic themes and tons of adventure that will keep you turning the pages. So I encourage you to check them out, especially once Augmented is released in September 2025. Thank you so much for listening to Read Clean YA with CJ. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend so they can discover exciting, clean young adult books too.